This is the third part in the series on the future. We talked about the best is yet to be and the hope of heaven, that first part in the series. Last week we talked about how the future, God, it's in His hands, and we want His presence in the present, but also in the future in our lives. And He holds that in the palm of His hands. As we close out this series, the title today is simply this: what's next? What's next? And we've mentioned how that we're really not so much talking about end time events, although we've touched on it here and there a little bit. But the main thrust of the series is, what about your future? What about your future personally? What about your family? What does God have in store? So again, we close it out this morning with that question: what's next? What's next for you? What's next for your family, your kids, your grandkids? What does God have up His sleeve? Because there's always surprises with God. It's never exactly maybe how we might envision it or how we might plan it. You know, the Bible says we make our plans, but ultimately it's Him that directs our steps. And when He's directing our steps, it's all good. Amen? So what's He up to? Solomon asked this question in Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 7. He asked, since no man knows the future, who can tell him what is to come? Who are we going to go to? There's no man. No man knows the future. So who can tell us what's yet to come? Well, in Acts 16, there's a story of a slave girl who predicted the future by an evil or an unclean spirit. Paul cast that spirit out of her, and of course he got jailed for it. But that was the spirit of the devil. That was nothing from the Lord at all. That was just a spirit, but it was an evil spirit. But in John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13, Jesus Himself tells us the only true source for predicting the future. And so let's look at those verses, John 16, verses 12 and 13. And He's speaking to His disciples, but He's speaking to us as well this morning. And He says this: I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. That word is just as real for me and you today as it was for the disciples back then. God has a lot more to tell us, but today, in this moment, it's a lot more than we can handle in this moment. So God gives us the grace for tomorrow, but we have grace today for today. So again, let's forget that painful past. Let's not be concerned about that fearful future potentially, but let's enjoy the precious present. Amen? That's what God wants us to do. So He says, I've got a lot more to say to you, more than you can bear right now, but when He, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. So that's the first job of the Holy Spirit, is to guide us. It's to guide us, but to guide us into truth, into things that are true and right. He, the Holy Spirit, will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is what? What is yet to come. He's the one that can predict the future. He's the one that knows what's coming down the road for you and for me. And so when we're in touch with Him in our prayer times, in our prayer closets, as we read His Word, as we are faithful to come to church and listen to the messages being preached, the Holy Spirit will tell you what is yet to come. He says that day, the second coming, it won't catch us unawares because we're in tune with the Holy Spirit. We're reading the Word. We can see the headlines corresponding with what we see in the Bible. So we know exactly what's going to happen. We're not going to be caught unawares. He said that day should not catch you unawares. We should be able to read the signs. He said, you know how to read the signs of the sky and the weather, but He said, I want you to know what the signs of the times are. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. And under that anointing of the Holy Spirit, God spoke to all types of men and women in Scripture, the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and so many others that God spoke through, and he did that telling them about the future through visions and through dreams. Chris Tigreen adds this. He said, the desire to dream is a good and a true desire. It was put into us by a creator who wants us to dream with. He wants us to see our potential in him, envision the growth of his kingdom, and to partner with him in faith to accomplish that vision for his kingdom. He is a forward-looking God with great plans and a desire to share them with us. He longs to give us glimpses of our future. I like that. God will give you a glimpse of the future. In my life personally, probably the most, I would say the most full glimpse into my future and the future of this ministry was years ago back at the old location. I was praying one morning about 10 o'clock in the sanctuary by myself. Ivy, my secretary, was in the office. Kathy had not come to actually work with us yet. She was working at a ministry up in Longwood, and so she was driving back and forth every day for that. But I was in the sanctuary praying one day, and the Holy Spirit just gave me a glimpse of what the future of New Life was going to look like. We were in a little bitty shotgun building that seated about 150 people. We were on 3 acres of land at that time. We had sold part of the Apopka Vineland frontage that we owned, and we had the Conroy Windermere frontage left. And so we're in that little building, and we're debt-free at that point. Money in the bank from the sale of the Apopka Vineland frontage. And the Lord just began to speak to me in the spirit, no audible voice, but just in my mind, don't do anything to this building. Don't think about adding on to it. Don't think about building something brand new here. Wait, because this land is going to become very valuable. At that time, both roads, which are major roads now, were just 2-lane roads. Now they're 4-lane highways, if you will. But back then, and there was a cow pasture on one side of our church. There was a cow pasture across the street. And there was nothing to the side of us, either of those corners. And the Lord said, this is going to become very valuable. And he gave me the plan. Even in my mind, I could envision what the outside of this building looked like. I could envision the floor plan of what this building was supposed to look like. And he laid on my heart that you're going to sell this in the future. They'll tear this old building down to put something new. But it's going to be very valuable. This property will be very valuable. And just laid that out. And said, also he said, you're going to be able to stay in this building until the new building is completed. All those things just in detail. And, you know, it was just mind-boggling. And it took 10 years before that actually came to pass. 10 years of waiting. That's not near the length that some in Scripture have waited. David waited 15 years from the time he was anointed king until he became king. We know that others, even longer periods of time, Abraham and Sarah, 25 years from the time God said, you're going to be a father and the father of nations until Isaac was born, 25 years. So all this, it just takes time. If God has to move quickly, he will and he can. But normally God uses time. And so God's timing for your future and for mine is the key, God's timing. And so Chris Tigreen continues. He says, we all have the ability to envision with God. And that's what God helped me to do that day. I've never had something that detailed before, and I've never had something that detailed since. But I knew that we would have a new building, a new location, a brand new building, brand new property, and it would all be done debt-free. That just was blowing my mind as well. But all of those things, everything he shared with me in that prayer time that morning, they all came to pass, and we're sitting in that vision. And so Tigreen says, we all have this ability to envision with God. No, he doesn't tell us everything about the future. He doesn't satisfy all of our curiosity. We still have to walk by faith, but he does guide us into tomorrow. Aren't you glad for that? God will guide us into tomorrow. He gives us cues about what we need to prepare for and what we will need to face. And he fills us with pictures of his plans for us. God did that for me that morning for the future of this ministry. And here we sit. He goes on, don't quench the dreams and visions that the Spirit puts inside of you. Don't quench the dreams and visions that the Spirit puts inside of you. Human nature is to subdue our hopes in order to protect ourselves from disappointment. But when you're dealing with God, you don't have to worry about him disappointing you. That is impossible to happen. But God will give us longings and hopes in order to fulfill those dreams and visions that he does give us. And then Jesus' promise applied not only to a few apostles, but to all who would read and study his word. The God who knows the future will lead you into yours by giving you glimpses of it. I want to say that again. I love this. The God who knows the future, your future, will lead you into yours by giving you glimpses of it. Notice them and follow his lead. Amen? Be aware when the Spirit is speaking to you. Be sensitive to the voice of God. Learn to recognize his voice and then move in swift obedience when you hear it and you know that you know that you know that this is God speaking to your heart. We can trust our all-knowing God for the unknown future. I love that as well. We can trust our all-knowing God for the unknown future. Sarah Young writes this. Again, remember she writes from the perspective of Jesus writing and speaking to us. So she writes this. Jesus speaking to us, as you spend time in my presence, my thoughts gradually form in your mind. Before I ever step into the pulpit, I always pray, Father, put your thoughts in my mind and then put your words in my mouth. It's so important that we do that. So as you spend time in my presence, my thoughts gradually form in your mind. My Spirit is the director of this process. Again, it's the Holy Spirit, not by might, not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Sometimes he, the Holy Spirit, brings Bible verses to mind. Sometimes he enables you to hear me speak directly to you. That still small voice, not an audible voice, probably. I've never heard an audible voice from God. I've never heard his audible voice. But those gentle whispers, that still small voice, like Scripture tells us, that says, this is the way, walk in it. He'll show you. And then these communications strengthen you and prepare you for whatever is before you on your life path. So take time to listen to my voice. I see that noise is annoying people. I don't know what it is. I don't know where it's coming from. But we'll just deal with it. But he says, take time to listen to my voice. That's the thing in our society today, that we need to take the time. We need to make the time to get alone in God's presence, to get alone in his presence, and to hear from him for ourselves. You know, it's great for someone to give you a word from the Lord, but don't ever take that as something that you have to do. It's there to be confirmation to you for something God has already spoken to you. So don't, just because some prophet comes through and gives you a word of prophecy or whatever, just put it on a shelf. And you pray and you seek God, and you just see, does time prove him to be a prophet or not? But you don't jump on it, you know? But it should be confirmation for something that God has either spoken to you already or something that God will speak to you in maybe the near or distant future. Sarah Young continues, I am perpetually with you. God is always with us, always for us, always in us. He said, I'm with you perpetually, taking care of you. Aren't you glad that God cares for us? I've said many times, nobody loves us like God loves us. Nobody cares about us, and nobody cares for us like God does. She writes, that's the most important fact of your existence, is that he's always with us. I am not limited by time or space. Our God has no limits. My presence with you is a forever promise. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always, even to the end of the ages. You need not fear the future, for I am already there, Jesus says. You need not fear the future. I'm already there. That's what provision means, is that whatever we need, both now and in the future, it's waiting for us to get there. You don't have to try to collect it or fix it or whatever or prepare, you know, but it's going to be there waiting for you. Tomorrow's blessings are there tomorrow. If the Lord tarries his coming 10 years from now, his blessings for us 10 years from now, they're still there waiting for us. They're waiting for us, so we don't have to worry about it. She writes, your future is in my hands. I release it to you, catch this, day by day, moment by moment. I release it to you, day by day, moment by moment. Sometimes in this life, we're going through things that we don't like, that we don't understand. We don't know how to fix it, how to solve it. And God says, you know, don't even worry about it day by day. I'm with you moment by moment. I will walk with you. I'll be there with you and for you. I'll take care of it. So don't be distracted by future concerns. Leave them to me, the Lord would speak to us. Don't be distracted by future concerns. Remember all the what-ifs that we talked about a number of years ago? Faith, not fear. Peace, not worry. Trust, not the what-ifs of our imaginations. Cast those imaginations down that are against our knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought and let it make it obedient unto Christ. Don't be distracted by future concerns. Leave them to me. I want to share something else with you this morning. And it's really from the Message by Eugene Peterson. And I love the Message. It's a great translation of Scripture, in my opinion, for me. My two favorites are the NIV and the Message. I just completed reading the book of Leviticus recently. I'm a little bit ahead in my Bible reading for the year. But what I like in the Message a lot is before every book of the Bible, there is a condensed version of that book in the Message. I just want to share a few brief things from the Message, but from the opening of the book of Leviticus. And so Eugene Peterson writes, God cannot be fit into our plans. We must fit into his. Now, that's a word. God can't be fit into what we want. We must fit into what he wants. That's where the Western church especially, we're whacked out there, because we've got it flipped. We think he's got to do what we say and what we want, name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, all that kind of stuff. But no, that's not how it is. We fit into his plans. And then he says, holy is the word that sets God apart. That's what sets God apart, because he alone is holy. The Bible says, holy and reverend is his name. My grandfather, who was an evangelist, he never would let anybody call him reverend. He said, holy and reverend is his name. There's no other reverend but him. So he was old school. But anyway, holy means that God is alive, but on God's terms. The book of Leviticus is a kind of extended time out of instruction. It's Moses leading them from the Exodus from Egypt. Now they're in, you know, they're out of bondage and all that stuff. They're free, but now they're all cramped up in this camp. Somewhere between 2 and 3 million people, grand total, of this traveling band here, this procession through the desert, the wilderness, all these things. But the book of Exodus, it's a kind of extended time out for the nation of Israel. It's a time out of instruction, a detailed and meticulous preparation for living holy in a culture that doesn't have the faintest idea of what holy is. Does that sound familiar? They are traveling through different countries, different places, and they can't touch this land, they can't do this, they can't do that, because that's not the land of promise. But they're going through pagan cultures. But God doesn't want them picking up on any of that junk around them. And even when they go to the promised land and they begin to destroy the nations that are there, he says, wipe them out, because I don't want them influencing you. Amen? And so they're going through and living in a culture that doesn't have the faintest idea what holy is. That's what we live in today. We live in a culture that doesn't know what holy is. They say good is bad and bad is good. Right is wrong and wrong is right. It's just been flipped. And sometimes we flip with it. And I think that's part of the problem in the church in America today. But he says the first thing that strikes us as we read Leviticus in this light is that this holy God is actually present with us, and virtually every detail of our lives is affected by the presence of this holy God. Nothing in us, our relationships, or our environment is left out. The second thing is that God provides a way, the sacrifices, the feasts, the Sabbaths, to bring everything in and about us into his holy presence, transformed in the fiery blaze of the holy. The mountain was on fire. They thought Moses had been consumed. So what do? They build a golden calf. This is our God that brought us out of Egypt. And they messed up. Our Lord is not dwelling any longer in a tent or a house in our neighborhood, but he makes his habitation in us and among us as believers. And he says, I am holy, so you be holy. That's tough. Once we realize this, the seemingly endless details and instructions of Leviticus become signposts of good news to us. God cares that much about the details of our lives today as he did about the details of their lives back then. All these rules and regulations for the people and for the priests and for the nation. All these rules and regulations, they now you understand, God is in the detail. God is in the detail. The old saying, the devil is in the detail. No, God's in the detail. God is the one to put all this together. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, each one of us. We're unique to him. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Just give it to God. This is good stuff. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it even without thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. That's what God wants. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. God changes us from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. That's what we were talking about just now. Listen for his voice and then move in swift obedience to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and me, develops us into well-formed, mature human beings. And he does that inside of us. Now, I want us to go back to a familiar scripture that we covered for a long time last year. And it's or maybe even the year before, Romans chapter 12. Just real briefly, you don't have any of this, Alan. Romans chapter 12, so it won't be on your screen, but you can flip there. And we know these verses. It's about living sacrifices. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy. There's that holy word again that we just read about. Holy and pleasing, and this is your spiritual or your reasonable act of worship. It's only reasonable that God would ask you to be a living sacrifice because he gave his only son who gave his literal life for us that we might have this life. And so it's only reasonable that we would present our bodies as a living sacrifice since his son died for ours. And then verse 2, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, so that you might know what the will of God is. And you know what I'm going to say? I don't want his acceptable will. I don't want his perfect or his pleasing will. I want his perfect will. I want his perfect will. That's what we need to ask the Lord for. Renew us, transform us, renew our minds, and help us to know what your perfect will is for our lives. So important. So important. Chris Tigreen concludes with this brief prayer about what we've been talking about. The future, yours, your family, mine, my family. What's next? What's next? He prays this prayer. Spirit of God, you know my future and how it fits with your kingdom plans. Please show me enough to draw me into your purposes. Give me God-sized visions that we can fulfill together. God, give me God-sized visions, dreams and visions that we can fulfill together. And I want to tie that in with one final scripture. It's found in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to pick up at verse number 17. This is on the day of Pentecost, and it's Peter preaching to the people. And he shares this from the prophet Joel. He says, beginning in verse 17 of Acts 2, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. All people. Everyone's included. Everyone's included in this outpouring. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. But even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And here's the key. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I believe it's God's will for all of us to make heaven our home. I believe it's God's will for all of our families to make heaven their home. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, and your household, your family. We can claim our families for God. I believe we're living in these end times. I believe that it's time, like my pastor used to say, to stop looking for signs of the end and start listening for sounds, that last trumpet call before Jesus comes and catches us away. And so I'm believing God for a great future. I'm believing God for hope for that future in all of our lives. God has a plan for you individually. God has a plan for you as couples. God has a plan for you and all of your family, your extended family, your kids, your grandkids, your in-laws. God has a plan. God has a plan. And we can trust his will, we can trust his way, and we can trust his timing. Amen.